Sports and Recreation Center on the campus of the College of Staten Island. It's time for the Dolphin Pod, the official College of Staten Island athletics podcast. With your host, David Pizzuto.
Austin Mick with a 9-point lead. Mick flying to the perimeter, gets it over to Latunji for three. Dolphins work it back up to 12 points.
In-depth stories, reviews and previews, interviews, and so much more. It's all right here. And now for the Dolphin Pod, here is your host, David Pizzuto.
And welcome, fans, to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com and from wherever you are tuning in to us today. This is Season 2, Episode 17, as we debut our show on Friday, January 15th of 2021. I'm David Pizzuto, broadcasting from my home in South River, New Jersey, and of course, being joined by co-host Nick Duran, the associate men's basketball head coach, broadcasting from his home in Staten Island. Nick, how are you this week?
Doing good, Dave. You know, hoping one of these times we could both be in Staten Island and do this together.
Yeah.
Hopefully sometime soon.
That's right. I mean, you're at the home base. I'm continuously over the pod here, over the water here, and doing the pod from home. And, you know, no greater chance, obviously, to get together than maybe this spring or into the summer. And, you know, next week, Nick, we'll kind of bridge that gap a little bit, because we're going to be on Zoom together as well as audio, because we have a special guest coming on next week, which is, of course, the great legendary Kenny Albert, you know, sportscaster extraordinaire, does all four sports, major sports on television and radio. He will join us, a special video segment that will go up on YouTube because of the enormity of the guest. So that should be fun. And at least we'll get to see one another, I think, for the first time ever that we've been doing this show.
Yeah, for sure. So it should be a lot of fun. You know, we'll have to dress up a little bit, make sure we're okay on camera. That's but, right. You know, excited for that guest. It's a big opportunity for the program to get him on the air as well. And then, you know, we'll have to really make sure our voices are in check for next week to hold up to his stature.
I know, right? Talk about like trial by fire, going up, you know, right there with the best. But, you know, Kenny has been sensational, and I've been very fortunate to be exchanging, you know, emails with him and a couple of short stories of how, you know, different people that we know. And he's been nothing but a gentleman. He's excited to be on. And, of course, we'll have our former head coach, someone that you worked under, Tony Pitozza, also joining us so that they can relive memories, kind of rekindle their friendship. And, you know, it's amazing, Nick, because lining up the interview for next week with Kenny, I obviously called Tony to discuss the opportunity. And, you know, he went into all of these stories that I had no idea about Tony. And I've known Tony, you know, since the mid-90s. So we go back quite a way. And it was exciting stuff. And it was awesome to hear on the phone. I can't wait till we uncover some of that stuff next week on the pod. But, you know, you think you know a guy, and then he springs up all these stories. And now he knows Kenny very well, and some other folks, you know, who he grew up with here on Staten Island and stuff. And it was great. It was a lot of fun to hear some of those stories.
Yeah, through my time with Coach Pitozza, you know, that's the one thing he has is just stories, and stories that you never heard and stories you would never think he had. So I've been a lot of long car rides with him going recruiting, and the stories that he comes up with and the stories that he has are great. So it'll be great to have both of them on next week and, you know, get to hear about their younger days and how they grew up a little bit. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, terrific. And that's all coming up next week, January 22nd, when we will have, of course, the legendary Kenny Albert join us alongside Tony Pitozza. We look forward to that one, obviously doing a little bit of video with that one as well. But this week, we have a good show. We have a person who has never been on the show before, but we've had a lot of his athletes on it. Mike Acolytis, the CSI head coach for men's and women's swimming. He's also the assistant athletic director for aquatics here at the College of Staten Island. And he's been with the program for quite some time now. And it's going to be nice to kind of pick his brain at another winter sport, Nick, like you guys, obviously. But he's in a little bit of a different predicament, because whereas some of your guys can pick up a ball and go shoot either at indoor arena, or if it's nice enough outside on some outdoor parks and hoops. You know, Mike has been kind of hamstrung, and his program has, with the closing of a lot of pools, obviously, and access is very restricted to his sport. So it's going to be interesting to kind of pick his brain on this COVID pause and what it's meant for his programs.
They took the thought right out of my head there. You know, again, like for us, like you said, we can just go to a park. We can meet up with a couple of kids and play. You know, for them, it's such a different situation. So very curious to hear, you know, how he's handling it too as a coach, knowing that, you know, there's only so much you can do. There's only so much you can tell your men and women to do in this little break that they have. But really excited to have Mike on. You know, he's the first coach that I met when I started coaching at CSI, and you know, he's a very inviting person, and he'll be a great guest, great personality. So it'll be a great show today.
Yeah, and you know, one of the other things with Mike, you know, programmatically, is that he's going through some things that no other coaches in our department is, and that's the fact that, you know, the East Coast Conference, the new conference that we're in NCAA Division II, does not sponsor swimming. So he's got that as well, and Mike is also the president of the you know, of the coaches of the Metropolitan, you know, Swimming and Diving Conference, which is a regional conference that encompasses Division I, Division II, and Division III schools, kind of mixes them all up for one major championship, which is held at Rutgers University every year. So it's about obviously promoting his program and having that operate at the finest level he can, but it's also kind of, you know, marrying that into what's really like a new conference kind of with the Metros, and taking that a little bit more seriously, trying to advance that conference, and also trying to work with other coaches within our current conference, the ECC, at potentially exploring some opportunities to have an ECC championship, to have an ECC conference. So Mike has that on his plate too. And it's going to be interesting to hear how that progress is going, because it's not something that we're used to kind of hearing and seeing here within our department.
Yeah, and like you said, I think you hit it right on the head. We'd love to hear how that's going and how much stress that is on his plate at this point. You know, we got a lot of information last week from having Casey on, so this will be very informative, you know, of things that we're not so aware of in the conference or where the programs are moving. So Michael shed a lot of light on that for us.
Yep. And, you know, in the weeks upcoming, obviously, we'll learn a lot more about swimming. We plan to have some swimmers themselves on the broadcast, and we plan to have, you know, same thing with the winter and continue that conversation, and then a focus on the spring. And, you know, with that in mind, Nick, the major piece of news that came out of this week, at least from the ECC, our obviously our parent conference, is that they will not be you know, supporting a spring season for fall sports. And that sounds like a little bit of a tongue twister, but obviously when the fall was canceled, meaning men's and women's soccer, men's and women's women's volleyball in their case, and tennis, sports that we don't have, the plan was to have their season just shifted to the spring. Well, that's no longer the case. You know, teams are going to do it team by team based on what they're doing on their campus. So it doesn't necessarily mean that in our case, men's and women's soccer is not going to happen at all in the spring. Instead, what it means is that each school is kind of free to explore their own way, whether it's doing a non-traditional season, a traditional season. The ECC is just not doing a championship in the spring. So, you know, it doesn't affect us all too much there, but it's kind of an inviting, you know, statement on the fact that the ECC is really going to throw all of its eggs in the spring sports basket, you know, baseball, softball, outdoor track, and really seeing those sports through in the spring rather than some of the fall sports.
Yeah, you know, it's tough news a little bit, but again, like if we can at least get some sports going, you know, that'll really give us hope falling into the fall sports for the following year. But, you know, for our program as a whole, I was excited to see soccer and softball go at the same time, because I wanted to see the showdown between Jackie and Eric and see who comes up with more wins in their first season.
Good point. And, you know, as far as the College of Staten Island is concerned, I could speak, at least from conversations that we have, that we fully intend to support, you know, our fall sports and our winter sports in the spring with regards to practice, and in soccer's case, a non-traditional season, which might see them play, you know, two, three, four. They have opportunities to play up to five scrimmages. So we just might see that competition, Nick. It'll just be packaged in a different way, I guess. So it's all stuff that we're looking forward to, for sure.
Yeah, and again, like anything that happens, anything we could get off the ground is a real positive and a way we can move in the right direction. So I think the conference is doing it a great way, and I think the school is handling it in a great way. And again, I think we've said it before, the school and the conference are really looking out after the player's safety, and that's first and foremost going through this. So, you know, hopefully we get some of those live sports going in the spring and keep it rolling into the fall and winter for next year.
Agreed for sure. And I know somebody who's going to have a lot of information to share, a lot of opinions on the matter, is our head men's and women's swimming and diving coach, Mike Acolytis. He's also the assistant athletic director for aquatics, and a lot of the Staten Island community as well uses our pool. A lot of high school teams, even Wagner College uses our pool to practice. So it's going to be nice to pick his brain for the next, you know, 35, 40 minutes. So that's what we're going to do. Nick and I will step aside, take a break. When we come back, we will be joined by Mike Acolytis, head coach of men's and women's swimming right here at the College of Staten Island. Stay with us. You're listening to Season 2, Episode 17 of the Dolphin Pod.
You're listening to the Dolphin Pod right here. CSIDolphins.com.
Champions know how to seize opportunities. When they see moments of greatness unfold right before their eyes, they push as hard as they possibly can. And then they push harder. Because the heart of a champion never settles, never quits, and never stops giving its all. We are champions. We are Division II. We go big, we give it everything we've got, and we win. On the field, on our campuses, in our communities, for our causes, in our careers. We rise to become champions in everything we do. We are Division II, and there are no limits here. We make our time count. We set our own path. We become champions on our terms. It's time to up your game. Because we're here to play and learn, but most importantly, we're here to discover ourselves, our vision, our heart, our drive, to achieve every goal we aim for, because we want to be champions at the highest level, life. At Division II, the opportunities are here. Are you ready?
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dolphin Pod. This is Season 2, Episode 17. It's time for our favorite segment for Nick and I. It's when we get to sit down and talk to a special guest. And today, for the first time on the Dolphin Pod, we welcome in the head men's and women's swimming and diving coach, along with being the assistant athletic director for aquatics at the College of Staten Island. It's Mike Acolytis joining us. Mike, how are you today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. Doing great.
Terrific. And, you know, there's a lot of things we want to talk to you about, Mike. You know, in the preamble to this segment, you know, Nick and I bounced a couple of ideas back and forth about the challenges that you're going through. But before we get into all that, I want to kind of welcome you in to our audience. You know, you've been with the college for some time now, and you're a familiar face. But for those people who aren't familiar with the College of Staten Island, or maybe learning about us for the first time, as we make this jump to Division II, can you, you know, tell our folks at home how you came to the College of Staten Island? I know you were a former athlete as well, so perhaps you could shed some light on your travels and your career path, you know, getting into the College of Staten Island.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. I have been with the college for some time now. I think the only coach with a longer tenure than me is that old guy, Mike Morrow. But I started, I was an assistant, I swam at St. Peter's College in Jersey City, and I was an assistant swim coach there. I know the College of Staten Island, the position opened in the middle of a season, so I know when things like that happen, there was a rush and a quick search. I was recommended that I should apply by some of my mentors that have been helping me out with my coaching, and I applied, and it was a good fit at the time for, I think, for CSI and for myself. So I've been there since, and, you know, it's really exciting times right now. It's been a quick 9.5, 10 years, which is crazy to say, but with all the exciting changes and the move to Division II, which I'm sure we'll touch on, it's been awesome.
Great, great. And I know, like, you know, similar to track and field with Andrew, you know, he had a certain specialty that he did when he was an athlete. You know, he was more of a distance runner. And I know swimming kind of has that nuance as well, where you're the head coach of a major team, but as an athlete, you have maybe your specific strokes or, you know, things that, you know, you did as an athlete. What were some of your strokes that you kind of performed in that were your kind of calling cards back when you were a college athlete?
Yeah, definitely. I was primarily a sprinter, whether that was the sprint freestyle or the butterfly. You know, the 50 free, the 100 free, and then the 100 fly were the three main events that I really stood out in. And once in a while, the 2 fly, but if anyone knows swimming, not too many people fall in love with that event. If they do, they're a special breed. So I think as I got older and stronger in the sport, I just focused on sprinting, and you mix in the 2 free as well. So that was what I was good at. You know, it's funny when you go into coaching, and it's really, those things come really easy to coach. But as you go on and a lot of things evolve, it's also, you could pick up so much more about those specific things and broaden your horizons for the other strokes, and you learn to love them all just as much.
Awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like you, out of all coaches, are somebody that's just, you know, always in the building. You're always around. You're always there. Real second home to you. You know, but can you just touch on what CSI has meant to you through the years and just the progression of the program through your time here?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a really good point. When I first got to position, it was paired with the aquatics director, and it's been that way since. And I think at the time, it was the only position, full-time position. And since then, the department has really grown. But for me, it has been a second home. It's been somewhere I've grown up. You know, I started as a 21-year-old, fresh out of college, just an assistant coach with 1 year under his belt. And now I have 9.5 to 10 seasons. And I've grown, the program has grown, the department has grown, and the college has grown. The fact that I get to do that along with all these great things happening, it's been amazing.
Yeah, you know, great points there. And like you said, I think, you know, I came in 7 years ago, and just the progression of the program and the things that are added on a yearly basis, like, just tops off to the whole program and how everything's being ran. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that. And it's not just a home for me. I think it's a home for, obviously, all the coaches and the student athletes in the college, but it's a great place for the community as well. That pool, obviously, when you guys are around, the people that are in and out of it, whether it's swim lessons to grammar school to high school, to even Wagner College diving, they use our diving boards. Their facility doesn't have diving boards. It's a community place, and you know, it doesn't feel like you're working when you're there. So I think home, community, those are the words that come to mind. And you know, Nick and Dave, you guys have been there since the beginning with me. Nick, you said for 7 years, so we see a lot of each other, and I think that's what makes the place great.
Yeah, for sure. And I said it in the opening, you know, to Dave, you were the first other coach I met at the time, and you know, your presence is so inviting and so welcoming. You know, we even bounce our recruits to you, and you bounce your recruits to us. I think just the way the whole program is ran as a coach's family is a really great thing. You know, but we just went Division II. You spoke on that a little bit before. You know, I love to ask this question to the other coaches. You know, how did you feel about the transition, and how did you prepare yourself moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it all happened so fast. I mean, as a being in the department, you always hear that that's the way to go. And I think it took, we applied, and it took, I can't remember if it was the full year to get the decision, but we got the decision, and it was like, okay, we're doing this. Like, let's hit the ground running. But when you think about it, it's just exciting. It's a new challenge. It's, you know, and I can't say it enough that it's not only a challenge for our department, but it's a great thing for the college. It grows the college, you know, the college vision, and we want to get these out-of-state kids, and we want to get these these student athletes that are going to develop into these, you know, young men and women outside of our college. And I think all of our plans are going hand in hand. You know, you think about it, it's an immediate, I don't know if job promotion is the right word, but it's an immediate step up, Division III to Division II. So we were all excited, not just myself, my staff, the alumni, the current kids on the team. I know that obviously the department, but I think everyone was just super, super excited. I can't think of another word.
Yeah, awesome, Mike. And, you know, obviously we were excited for you and for your, you know, for your athletes as well. So that's great to hear. You know, I want to go back, you know, a little bit to when you came on board, obviously, and bridging it to now. I mean, you mentioned so much growth and, you know, when you came on board, you came at a time of some turmoil. You know, there was a mid-year coaching change, and that's fine. Those things happen, you know, and, you know, you had to take over a program literally from scratch and kind of, you know, build it up again. And now you bridge that to where we are now with COVID and everything that's been happening now. You know, you've kind of arrived in turmoil and you're currently in turmoil now. And we'll talk a lot more about COVID, but can you talk a little bit about that building process and leading up to, you know, to now? You know, you mentioned how long you've been here, and this is something that really nobody prepared for.
Yeah, we've had a lot of, I guess, different situations go on in the past. You know, you think about Hurricane Sandy. I believe that was one of my first years. I did get there in the middle of a season, and all of those challenges, I think, kind of prepare you for what we're going through. Our department does a really good job of keeping us kind of together, like we're getting through this together. Other coaches helping each other out, or other administrators helping coaches, and because no one can prepare for this. You know, it's almost been a year, which is crazy to say. I remember getting in the last staff meeting before we left, and we were like, oh, it's going to be a couple months. And, you know, we're pulling up on almost a year. So I don't think anything could prepare coming in the beginning of my career in the middle of a season. I think that prepared me for a lot. Communication was always key. You know, I'm a stranger to these kids in the middle of the year. Some of the swimmers even older than I was. So I think it was important to communicate and just to be honest. And I think we're back in that position, you know, being honest with our athletes of what's going on, being honest with ourselves of if we're doing what we have to do as a college student athlete. So communication and honesty has really helped bridge this. And I think coaches are doing a great job with their team. My staff as well. Derek has been an outstanding help at this time. And I think other coaches for me have been an outstanding help. And the administration as well. The communication, I think, has had to be where it is. And if we couldn't do that, I don't think we would be in a good position right now.
Yeah, great. And good point with the communication. And I'm sure that was vital too when we were making this change, as Nick was talking about, to Division II, because, you know, your case was a little bit different than everybody else's, because while everybody else is exciting, you know, we're going to a new conference and there's going to be new rivalries to go through with the ECC. The ECC does not support, you know, men's and women's swimming and diving. And so that could be a little tricky. It could be a little bit of a slippery slope. I mean, you guys are used to being very competitive between, you know, in the CUNY Athletic Conference, winning championships, you know, most recently on the men's side 4 years in a row. So to go from having that kind of stature in one conference to going into, you know, a conference that, you know, we really doesn't support your sport has to involve a lot of communication on your part. Can you tell me a little bit about what the transition has been like, knowing that we don't have a specific conference to belong to? I mean, obviously the Metros is one, but can you talk about that dynamic and having to kind of navigate that threshold?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's definitely one of the challenges. And to bring up when we first, you know, we got that excitement of moving to Division II. And I think for me, that was the next, it was excitement. And it was like, oh, I'm in limbo here. Because the difference right now is the CUNY conference was amazing. And it was really a good event to develop camaraderie around. And you know, Joe, I need you to swim this event. Or hey, Naomi, I need you to go from the distance event to the sprint event, because it's what the team needs. And, Metros is a little more individualized because of how big it is. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, all that hard work you put in, you still want to get faster at the end of the year. So the goal changes a little bit, and it's a little trickier to get the kids motivated. There are other ways to do that. But I think the ECC does an amazing job with other sports. I think at some point I was hoping to have that convo. I know now is not the time to have the convo with everything, you know, going on with COVID and praying we get these baseball and softball players on the field so that they don't miss another year. But there are conferences in our same position, and they use the Metro Swim Conference as kind of a conference within a conference to help both their individual teams, their individual conference. And I think that's something we can look forward to. And I think it's exciting. And there are some other schools in my position in the ECC. Queens does have women's swimming. They did have men's swimming at some point. I'm not sure if they're planning on adding that again. But Roberts Wesleyan is another school that does have men's and women's swimming. So, you know, it's also helped me develop relationships with those coaches and see what they're doing and to see if there's something us three can do together, whether that's a winter invite and do something and fall under that ECC umbrella. So it's just, like I said, it's a little trickier to get motivated and find that camaraderie, because when you're all working towards one common goal at the end of the year, which was to win the CUNY championship, and we had some rivals and some battles during those years, I think it's just a different strategy to get that going.
Great.
Yeah, and I think that's great points you made. I think me and Dave said it on the air before, just how exciting it's going to be, you know, getting new rivalries and not playing the same CUNY teams every year. So, you know, bright futures for all the programs here and all the excitement coming through our program. But to go on a little less stressful topic, I hope, can you speak on, you know, how recruiting has been since we changed division to Division II? I know for us, you know, you get to speak to a different type of athlete, a higher academic athlete. So how has it been for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great topic. And it's been different, you know, and I think swimming is obviously, every sport is recruited different. So to compare it to basketball, I think you guys will get definitely that different type of kid or athlete or level of player. But my biggest difference that I see it, because the way swimming recruits is a lot of it is just time. You know, obviously you want to see the kid's technique and make sure he doesn't have, you know, he has a good stroke, but you can go on websites and you can see the qualifications. You can see what they've done in the past. You can see how many times they've done it and things like that. So the thing for me is my email kind of started to blow up a lot more. And I think it's because when we changed, the categories on these recruiting websites changed, and, you know, Dave has probably sent some more interest forms. And I think that's good, not just for the swim program, but if we're getting more hits on our website and more parents going on our website just because we have Division II next to it, I think that does wonders for the college and for every sport. So I think it's just more traction for me, more interest for me. And unfortunately, I think sometimes in high school sports, the student athletes don't necessarily get the best guidance on what Division One, Division Two, and Division Three is, and what's the benefits and what it really means. I think they just get kind of stuck on that idea. Division One's the best, Division Two is in the middle, and Division Three is at the bottom. And I think that's not the best way to go about it. But like I said, we do have Division Two next to us now, so I think it sparks a lot more interest, and that's just going to be good all around for my program, but for everyone else's program, and more importantly, the college.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly right there. I mean, try talking to a high school basketball senior, and the only thing you hear is Division One, Division One, Division One. So, yeah. You know, it's an understanding. And again, think about how many, you know, All-Americans and high-level players we had at our Division Three level that were just as good as Division Two, just as good as Division One guys. So I like how you said that about the understanding.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. I appreciate that. The best thing I've learned is you know, I've taken a lot of time during this little COVID and Zooms and to jump on some calls and learn more. And the best thing I could say is I've learned that every swim coach, when they talk about recruiting, and I'm sure it's every sport, talks about fit. You know, if the kid's in the right fit and in the right place, you'd have to work hard to not make him successful. And with that being said, people are going to make mistakes, and maybe they do choose the wrong college. But I think in most cases, if you do your job as a coach and they do their job as the recruit and soon to be student athlete under you, I think fit, it's all about fit, and they'll succeed.
Yeah, very well put, Mike. But my next question leads kind of into that. you know, I asked a lot of coaches this, everybody almost we had on, you know, just some of the things that you've learned through this process, you know, and other than just, you know, being on Zoom or something like that, you know, is it communication? Is it keeping in touch with the kids? Is like you said, honesty before? What's something that you really learned that you're going to take out of this bad time that we're in?
Yeah, I think for sure we're all going to take out of it is no plan is safe. You know, you could work for a whole week on a plan that you think is going to happen, and it's most likely going to change during these times. But I've also learned a lot that I hope to take into the future when things are closer to normal, I guess you could say, or the new normal. You know, I think before this, no one took advantage of Zoom as much as now, and as zoomed out as I am, I think it could be a great tool for the future for, you know, those long summers when, you know, you're not with your swimmers, or I think taking advantage of that bi-weekly and just getting them together in a summer could be fun, and, you know, learning new ways to track or to help them work out. And I know can't always do that in the summer, but even during this year right now is just, you know, so many challenges. But I think it's important that we, when all said and done and we are fully back in person, who knows when that will be, is let's take some of the things we learned to help in both cases and make us even more successful into the future, you know?
Yeah, no, it's good that you say that. And I always go back to something that you said to me over the summer, which I now use all the time, you know, as a reflection point. And that is, you know, before COVID, I didn't even know what Zoom was. And now I can't imagine my life without it. I mean, how else can you meet with like four different recruits from four different parts of the country in the same day, you know, and have them see you and look at you and kind of interact on a personal basis? It's not ideal. You'd wish they'd all hop on a plane and come see you or vice versa. But it is something that I think is here to stay forever. So I think that's a great point, you know.
Yeah.
The one thing that Zoom can't do, Mike, and this is something Nick and I spoke about in our opener, is, you know, it can't create water for you to swim in. And, you know, the one difference between you and a track athlete is a track athlete can get up and run around in their neighborhood. You know, a basketball player can grab a ball and find the park or might have some arena time. With swimming, it's a lot different, obvious for obvious reasons. There's very limited places you could swim. Even if there are, it's usually a cost to get in there. There's usually a finite amount of time that those pools are open for just general community swim, if they're open at all. So you have this incredible, enormous challenge of not having the physical space to do your sport. Never mind that we're not doing it as a team officially, you know, with return to practice and play protocols. So can you shed some light on what the enormity of that challenge has been like for your kids and what it's meant for their growth and development as a swimmer?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit it on the head. You know, in before COVID, you know, pool space is limited in what people can do and find, especially in the New York City area. So add this on top of it, and it's been a real struggle, and the kids are feeling it, you know, I'm feeling it, but you have to do your best to work through that. But there's been a lot of alternatives. You know, people think swimmers are crazy in a sense that they go back and forth in a pool for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours a day and do that for years at ends and expect to just get better at the end of the year. And but the crazy part is now that they don't have pool space, people have invested in, you know, swim training, stationary belts and using backyard pools. And you swim in place now with the belt on and people are heating their pools. They heated them till November. That's how bad it actually got. And, you know, it's still bad today. Just last month, Jersey closed all pools for all sports, but pools as usual, they had to take, you know, 30 days off. And, so it's been challenging. I mean, CSI is one of the best pools in Staten Island and one of the major pools in Staten Island. I think there's only about four or five that you could really use to competitively swim in. And I think that's on the high side, talking about indoors. It's probably us, Wagner, and the JCC, YMCA, so maybe four. But, you know, limited space and limited occupancy. So we have to find other ways to stay in shape. It's going to be challenging when we get back in the pool from, you know, I've known during this a couple of years that once someone stops swimming, it's very challenging to get back in mentally and physically. And that's for any sport. But in a sport like basketball, you mentioned, you could at least work on your dribbling if you can't find a hoop. You know, swimmers don't like to run. I know I hated it. I still hate it. But those are the type of things you kind of have to do right now and just keep your cardio as best you can and keep your shoulders kind of engaged, because taking what could be almost up to a year off of being in the pool, it's going to be challenging to get back in.
Yeah, I agree with you with the running part. I think it was TJ Tibbs who said it best. He said running is the punishment for other sports.
Yeah.
it's what you do when you did something wrong, you know. But it's a good point. And you know, obviously this has been a struggle. And one of the points that you just brought up that I wanted to actually hit on is that I've spoken to a lot of swimmers on a lot of different levels. You have recreational swimmers, you have very competitive swimmers, and they all agree and say the same thing, that when you have to swim every day, if you want to be good, you have to swim every day. Maybe you take a day off, you know, once a week, once every 2 weeks, but most swimmers have told me that every day off that you take, you're taking two steps back, that you have to make up, you have to make up ground. So now that you've been without a pool for so long, do you have a fear that, you know, when and if you do get back on schedule, you're going to be doing so much catch up work to get back to where you were? Or are you confident in some of the land work that your kids are doing that you're not going to lose too much tread?
You know, confident, I'm not confident in anything during these times. I'm expecting, you know, the worst. And if that's the case, I think we're going to have a little fun with it. We won't, you know, we generally dive in the get in the pool 2 hours each morning at the beginning of the season. And I think it's just going to come to start conditioning a little different and try some new things. And I think it gives good opportunity for swimmers, because swimming's a long season. We go, you know, close to similar to basketball. We go from September to about March 1st, and it gets grueling mentally and physically. So maybe this adds a different aspect to it, where the beginning of our season, we're doing a lot more dry lands and conditioning and not in the pool as much, just to not put as much stress on the shoulders. But there is that concern. And it's actually, I think the athletes that have it the hardest is the juniors, the, you know, sophomore, juniors and seniors in college, because my freshmen were still involved with their club team. So they were still able to hold a spot on the club team. Mm. These college kids, at least in this area, they weren't able to go back to their club team. You know, they're not allowed because of the space. So it's really the ones that are in college that are probably being hurt the most, at least in our New York City area. Thankfully, some of the younger, you know, freshman, sophomore could still go back to their clubs and swim with them. And that's what's happening. So there's also going to be that fear of like, okay, maybe this one freshman has swam for the past year and didn't really have to take too much time off. And now my senior is, you know, he's hasn't done what he's supposed to. And he's got a little bit of a gut, and his shoulders are not where they used to be. So I think it's going to be challenging, but I think, you know, with the help of Derek and Gavin and Allison, and it's, we can get through that. But mentally, I think is also an aspect of that too. We have to make sure the kids want to do it, and they have to know that it is going to be a challenging. So hopefully they rise against that challenge, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and you spoke on before, you know, using, you know, things like apps and stuff to track, you know, training things for the kids. You know, what are some of the things that you're looking for your kids to be doing during this time, or are you guys meeting on Zoom? Like, what's the swim atmosphere like right now for you guys?
Yeah, you know, just being 100% honest, I think at the start of this and in the summer, it was a lot. We had hope that we'd have a season. We now know that we're not going to be competing. So we're not sure what this semester is going to bring just yet. But for this past fall semester, as I mentioned, a lot of the freshmen were able to keep spots on their club teams, which is exciting. And the returners for me on my team, we would try to get motivated and do some team challenges and try to make fun out of it, of workouts of the days, you know, who did the most, who ran the most. And, you know, as an athlete, if you don't have an end goal or a challenge, it's very easy to ask yourself, why am I doing this? And that's the thing you want to avoid, right? You want to feel like you have a purpose. And, you know, every one of these kids does have a purpose, in my opinion, you know, and that's to graduate. And that's to be a college athlete and finish out your career. So I don't want to see anyone walk away. But we did meet in the beginning of this weekly on Zoom. We would try to go through some topics and use some videos of what other colleges are doing and why. And then we would just try to kind of stay active. I think that's important. And there's nothing we could really do that's going to translate to being back in a pool. You need to swim. If you're a swimmer, it's as simple as that. But I think just preaching the message of trying to stay active was important.
Yeah, great message. And you know, again, you bring up graduation now. For everybody listening, if they don't know, they definitely should know. Our swimming program is such a high academic program year after year. And you know, how did your kids, you know, take the online learning? You know, was it easy transition? And how was the semester for you guys?
Yeah, we just did our team GPAs, and you know, it's no secret we did have credit, no credit, so that definitely did help us. But we were right where we wanted to be. You know, we had a 3-1 on the men's side, a 3-4 on the women's side. But we're blessed in the sense of, we have a lot of Macaulay student athletes, and that's not just a great thing, you know, as a stat and for our GPAs, but, their presence and their dedication in the classroom as well as the pool, just, it kind of just builds a great atmosphere for the team. You know, the impact that Mike Sorensen has with some of these other younger kids is younger swimmers. I shouldn't call them kids, younger swimmers or younger student athletes has been unbelievable. And, he's a Macaulay honors student. He's looking to graduate with 5 majors, which is just insanity to me. I remember when having 2 was crazy. But I see him mentor these kids and help them with registration and why they should maybe take a professor versus another professor, and why it's important to work on our grades. So it's kind of contagious in our program. You know, I don't want to take credit for any of it, because it's these kids that are in the classroom. I've been lucky that it just seems swimming has gone hand in hand and worked really well with our Macaulay Honors College. And, you know, it's been a blessing because it's one less thing that I kind of have to worry about, but it just really is contagious. It kind of starts at the top with some of them, and it just sheds down. And, you know, when I see the non-honor students get 3.9s and 3.8s, you know, above a 3.0, I think for some people is amazing. But to see non-honor students, you know, close to a 4.0, that's when it's really like, wow, this is impressive. This is something special, because everyone's working towards that common goal of a high team GPA and, you know, like you said, Nick, getting the graduation.
Yeah, and you know what? It's no surprise that some of our best athletes are also our best students. It kind of goes hand in hand. That discipline has always been there with those kids, and you know, your teams are a living example of that, Mike. So congratulations with that. As we hear that they continue to have success in the program. You know, something that you touched on with Nick, you know, with regards to obviously the fall, and then you mentioned learning about the cancellation of competition, at least for the winter. And, you know, while that's gone at this point as an option, there still exists the option to maybe return to practice and maybe get back into the pool. But in order to do that, our pool has to open. And I know that's been a source of frustration for you and for everybody really associated with our department. Can you talk a little bit about what the protocols are for a potential opening of our pool and a safe return to play, you know, for your kids, even if it is just practice, even if it is just reporting for an hour or two to get that work in? What has to happen? What dominoes have to fall in order to get our facilities back up and running, to your knowledge?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when it comes to the actual pool in New York State, they did, you know, I don't have it in front of me, and I hope I'm not misspeaking. It's been a little while since I did reread it, but I believe it was just 33% of occupancy could use the pool, which is fine for generally our team. That won't be an issue. It might brush up against if we ever get down the road of rentals, and we can go down that path when we get there. But fortunately, for swimming, no contact tracing, to my knowledge, has really been reported to be, you know, COVID to be transmitted, in a pool. So, the CDC says it's fine. You know, USA Swimming says it's fine. And all the contact tracing and studies, none of it's really getting reported back to pool. So that's a really good positive. I think we were close to opening, you know, right before the holidays, right before that spike. But then, unfortunately, you know, Governor Cuomo kind of put a halt on things, the yellow zones, the orange zones, and, you know, the spikes, and all of that has really held up the conversation. And we're an indoor sport, so I think indoor is harder than outdoor, and I think that's no surprise to everyone. So I think we just need, you know, as a community and as a state, we just kind of have to get this spike down, and I think we'd be ready to open. There are pools open on Staten Island, whether that's the YMCA or the JCC. But again, I think that's what we have to do. We wait till the spike passes. Hopefully our baseball and softballs get going outside and they don't need too much occupancy of our gym so that our swimmers can come in when they're not there. Hopefully the weather breaks nice for those sports, because I do think it's important that we get baseball and softball in, being that they did miss a year. But I think that's kind of where we're at. We're just waiting for that okay and waiting for that those spikes to kind of break off and say, okay, swimming is not in a high-risk sport. It's an individual sport. We can put two people in a lane, one at each end, which is what a lot of people do when they first start back up, so that no one's on top of each other, and you know, and safely, and just follow the procedures, you know?
Sure, sure. No, it's good information to have, obviously, and something we're all looking forward to. And, you know, selfishly, Mike, you know, my daughters, happy birthday, yeah. Happy birthday to them, by the way, their birthday's today. But awesome. they use the pool. They're very active. They're pining to get back into some kind of an athletic routine. And that's the other part of your job, you know, as the assistant athletic director for aquatics. You know, people sometimes look at our athletic program and say, oh, well, swim teams. But when you think about it, our swim teams are only in the pool, but a short finite amount of time. The other time, that pool is busy. Every hour that you guys are open, there is a community group in there. There are high schools and other colleges that use our facility. There are, you know, community programs that come in. You know, so there's a lot of activity that goes in there, and the community is always pining to get into our pool. What kind of you know, response have you gotten from the community? I know it could be a little frustrating sometimes just to share emails that come in that say, are you guys open? Are you guys open? But, you know, how, as the aquatics director, do you kind of manage all those rentals and community groups that want to use the pool? What's the company line right now? How do you keep those relationships going with the pool being closed? And how do you manage that element of your job?
Absolutely. You know, the quick answer to this is I just blame it on Charles, you know, it's no, but it has been challenging for Charles and I, and we work together to kind of, you know, keep them and the community happy. But we want them, they need to know that we want them in our pool just as bad as they want to be in it. I think what's really hurt us is that coming off of a summer where, you know, outdoor pools, you know, COVID was not as big as it is right now in the middle of the winter, and we were told that was going to happen. But a lot of, you know, younger swimmers were in the pool outdoors, and maybe they forgot about COVID and indoors. And when we switched to summer pools being closed and these people not having a place to stay, it was, well, why can't we? I don't understand. And it's different, you know, it's indoors. It's a lot. These rentals are a lot of people. So there's a lot of procedures and protocols that we worked on to put in place with these rental groups, you know, Hopper Aquatics, who uses our pool a lot for swimming and diving. The Catholic high school leagues, the girls and boys. So we got all of them to put their COVID procedures down, and worth going a lot of back and forth, but, you know, as well as using USA Swimming as a guideline to make sure that we're not, on top of each other necessarily, and having small stations for when they come in and dropping their bags off. So we worked a lot on that in the semester. We just, unfortunately, when we saw light at the end of the tunnel, I think we had that spike, kind of, I think that was November, that it happened. So, it's hard to tell them, you know, to get that email and say, my daughter really needs swimming. She's having a hard time at home. And, you try to stress patience, you know, it's, if it was my decision, I wish I could help more, but not that I say that, but, you know, I wish we had an outdoor pool with some heat that we could even go in to get these kids outside, but it has been frustrating and challenging. And I think everyone knows at this point the situation. I think everyone's just kind of first instinct is it can't hurt to ask. So everyone's just always asking for an update and hoping that one of those emails is going to say, yep, we're going to be open February 15th and March 1st or whatever that date possibly can be. But unfortunately, that hasn't been the case just yet. My fingers are crossed. I know, as I said, I know Charles is working very hard to get this done. And like I said, patience is a virtue right now. And I feel bad for the kids most overall. And speaking for myself, I miss it more than probably they do. I never thought I'd miss that hot smell of chlorine walking into my, my pool deck and having to change my shirts on some days, but you do miss it. And I think that's said for anyone. Everyone misses work right now in person.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I've said this before, one of the things I miss the most is just sitting in an office and listening to Coach Tibbs talk for about 5 hours and not being able to go home and eat dinner and then having to eat a late dinner that night. But, you know, we take things for granted, especially while we're coaching and while we're tied up in our jobs. You know, it's a lot to take everything in. You know, what's some things that you look back on now that, you know, you're super grateful for about coaching and things, you know, that in the future you'll try not to take as full advantage of?
Yeah, I mean, building relationships is the reason why, at least for me, and I think most of us do this, right? You realize that the kids make an impact on your line just as much as you make one on theirs. And I think that's the beauty of our job. But trying to build those relationships, not in person, especially with the way, you know, it's great that we have technology, but like it's that Snapchat, it's that Instagram, it's, you know, text messaging. Can you really read and have this relationship with your kid when, you know, if a kid had a half hour break and wanted to eat a sandwich and needed a place to sit and want to sit next to me and just have a conversation? You know, our student lounge used to have all our kids in it and just walking through. And, you know, I've eaten lunch with you guys 2-3 times a week on some weeks, just sitting there. And, I think we just take that in person. Hey, how you doing? How's your family? How's your sport? How'd you play in yesterday's game? And, not even for my athletes, you know, I'm in touch with my athletes, but, like you said, Nick, like I pop into basketball practice just to see if I can pick up on some weird tips that I can translate from the court, you know, or from your style or Tibbs' style to the pool. And I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to see Rigo and give him a high five and, you know, ask if he's going to get that win. So I think just the relationship part of it is a lot different. You know, you have to check up on the kids because the way technology is, they could get caught up in something else so quick and you're not able to have that in person. So, you know, take advantage of those FaceTimes. When we get back in person, just take advantage of being around everyone. You know, it's definitely going to be different, but I miss not just my team, everyone's athletes. So,
yeah, that's a amazing point I'd say there, because I think you hit it right on the head with what our program is and our program's, you know, one big team. Forget that we're all separate teams. You know, we're all one big team. You're always around. Like you said, you pop into our practice, I think, more than any coach. You might be tied with Morrow, you know, Morrow speaks in a whole bunch too. But, you know, Dave asked this question to Mike Morrow and Kelsey when they were on. You know, I'm curious to know this. I think you might have something good. You know, have you gained or had any special talents that you've taught yourself over this COVID or anything new that you're doing?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. You said gained in there. I think I gained a couple pounds sitting on my couch. It's funny, in the beginning of this, you know, I still tend to play video games here or there, nothing crazy, but I found out specifically my men's team was on Call of Duty a lot. I mean a lot. So I tried to jump online and play with them and they just whooped me. So I don't think I've gained any talents. I've tried a lot of new things. But let me think here. You know, it's funny. I don't even know what month we're on. Are we on month 9 of this? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Yeah, 9 sounds right. But you have your moments where you wake up and you're so motivated and you say, I'm going to go to the gym, and you do your 3 weeks. You know, you don't miss a day and you eat healthy. And then, you know, the next 3 weeks are just as bad back on the couch, at least for me. And I've tried to start getting up earlier, getting to the gym. I think it just helps have a positive outlook on things that are going on. But, you know, Nick, you're going to motivate me now. I got to lose my 5 pounds is what you're telling me.
I can't see you, so I don't know, Mike. I think you sound lighter. Don't worry. You sound
lighter. Thank you.
Well, when you find out how to lose the 5, let me know so I can lose my 25, because that's pretty much what I'm pushing these days. That's, you know, dieting is something that obviously I've always pinballed with that my whole life, but definitely COVID is playing games with that for sure. Eating well here at home. But Mike, you know, that's, you know, what Nick brings up, you know, is valid, because we all obviously, you know, being at home and, you know, following what's going on, you know, with sports while yours is kind of put on hold is a big thing that's going on too with us. And I know you're a huge college football fan. I know that you follow a lot of the, sports, you know, even, you know, pre-COVID, but now that, you know, it's been thrust in the spotlight and you've been able to see some of the professional sports get off, what are some of your musings on how some of the professional sports leagues have handled COVID and even, you know, college sports now, you know, to this point, you know, football and obviously basketball being the two main ones that are in the limelight a lot?
Yeah, no, you hit it on the head. I do love college football and the NFL, and the NBA had a terrific job with the bubble. That's not easy. But everyone's trying to make this work. And I think it's helped us as we sit home and something to look forward to and watch and even just have a conversation with friends about. I think it was Mike Greenberg say he was not optimistic. He was not thinking any seasons would finish, especially college football, and it finished, and he couldn't be more wrong. And he was so happy that he was wrong about that. And, you know, it is great that they're doing it, and it's great for those college kids. The most frustrating part about it when you think about how far we've come and the masks, and you're watching it on TV and there's some people have fans, no fans, is if we can play sports, and especially a sport like football, is we need to find a way to get these kids back in the classroom. And I think it's going to take a lot smarter and a lot more planning than us three can ever try to do or attempt. And I understand that part of it, but it's like, it's great that I am sitting home and enjoying this Notre Dame football game. But at the same time, people are struggling, and I think, you know, forget sports. Let's get these kids back in the classroom, and not even necessarily our college kids. I think our college kids do a good job adjusting and being young adults and learning to use the online stuff. But I'm talking children. They need to be in the classroom. And when you watch these professional sports leagues that have these resources to be able to test every day and play their sport, look, it's great. And I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth. It's because I watch it and I enjoy it. But at the same time, I think once in a while you kind of look back at it and you're like, crap, I wish there was a way we could get these kids back in school, you know? Mm-hmm.
No, it's a fair point, you know, for sure. And, you know, I know, Mike, one of the things that obviously, you know, we're missing about your season specifically is, you know, getting a chance to kind of look into your team and see, you know, some of the progress that you've made, especially in light of Division II, everything we talked about with Metros. And how involved you are with that, you know, what did we miss? You know, if you could tell us like what the makeup of your team is for this year, where it's moving towards the future, what's the signature of this swimming program? What are people who are maybe getting to know us for the first time? You know, what have they missed this past season? What were some of the things that you were keying on, and what are some of the things that are still growing that you want people to know about your program?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we had just tremendous momentum coming off of last year at Metros on both the men's and women's side. We had some of our highest team finishes we had in years. And I think it was all a part of this Division II move and, you know, the support from the athletic department. And we were kind of just getting to make that impact at Metros. And I think with the recruiting class we had, we were going to come into even a better year. And that's really what we missed. And now we just have to build on that and make sure to not lose that. I want to keep that momentum. And like I said, it's going to be challenging. And I think we can have some fun with it. It's a chance for swimmers to do stuff they don't normally do. But let's not lose that momentum. Let's keep making sure we're moving up those team ranks at Metros or having people place in places they never have and challenging some school records. And I think we can't let that slip through. And that's going to start, you know, with me and making sure that the team is motivated. I think we had some of our top recruits that we were ever ever able to land, given this move, and we were excited. But with that being said, it's kind of going to be like a dual threat, hopefully, next year, because if we double up on the recruiting class on top of the freshman and the sophomore, that momentum should just be a snowball down the hill and really build into this. So I'm excited for that next season. I want to coach these kids more than I tell them all the time. I miss coaching them, but I want to get to September really bad. And hopefully I can land a few more recruits before September, and we have even more momentum. I'm sure that's good for everyone, but I just want to get to September and hopefully get these kids in the pool coaching and building that momentum to make that impact at the Metro Championship.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, it's great to get to know, the program a little bit more, the struggles that you guys have been going through, but the optimism that you guys have moving forward. You know, it's hard to believe, Mike, we're about that 50-minute mark of our conversation. I lost track of time, as we always do when the conversation is good. So I want to thank you for coming on. I hope this is the first of many appearances we have with you and some of your kids as we continue to move the needle with swimming. And we wish you the best of luck, in the near future.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm hoping we get to, safely see each other in this spring semester whether it's that softball or baseball. So
right.
Looking forward to that. And I want to give a quick shout out. We did touch on our grades to, first of all, to all the student athletes, everyone's team athletes. There are challenges here. Keep it up. A lot of good grades, but I do want to give a specific shout out to Sabella and Melissa, who both had 4.0s this semester, two of my top students. So I should have mentioned that before when Nick touched on it, but I think that goes as a nice little highlight. A great job to everyone. Keep it up.
Yeah, wow, that's tremendous. Definitely congratulate them on that and all of our student athletes for getting through the fall and looking for brighter days ahead with the spring. So, Mike, thanks again for joining us. What Nick and I will do is we will step aside, take a break. When we come back, we will wrap up this episode of the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
In NCAA Division II, student-athletes leave a lasting impression on their communities. That's because Division II student-athletes want to make a difference and truly be part of their surrounding communities. Through community engagement, thousands of student-athletes from various backgrounds interact with community members who view them as role models. This interaction leaves a positive and perhaps even life-changing impression on all those involved. In Division II, we rise to the opportunity and make community engagement ours.
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com. And from wherever you are tuning in to us today, this is Season 2, Episode 17. We just wrapped up a great call with Mike Acolytis, and we had a lot to catch up on, Nick, with Mike, and learned a lot more about his struggles with COVID, his career itself, what the team is going through, how they're trying to stay focused. And it's a lot to handle and at a time when they're really supposed to be getting ready for some meets. So, we know it's been a challenge, but I think his team and him as a coach and as an administrator is handling it pretty well.
Yeah, you could hear his spirits are up. So that's definitely good to hear. But like we spoke upon it, I can't imagine the struggles, coming from a coach where at least I could go on social media or our kids could send us videos of, them doing a new dunk or them hitting this many threes while they're playing. Like, we can at least see progression. Like, he can't even see the progression of his kids in a pool because, right. Some kids can't get in. So I could only imagine, for him and the kids not being able to play the sport that you love. I can only imagine, if Rigo or Christian Taylor, like, they can't get on a basketball court, they go crazy.
Right.
So I can only imagine what the kids are going through. So kudos to them and kudos to their GPAs, like he put on before. And they're really moving forward. So hats off to them and happy to hear that they're doing well.
Yeah, yeah, and it has a snowball effect too with recruiting, because you guys know this too with juniors that were on your radar are now seniors that have had their seasons wiped away. So what does that fallout look like? You know, in the case of swimming, you might have had your eyes on a couple of juniors who were posting this time, but what is that time now if they haven't been in a pool for, you know, 6 months, 9 months, a year? So that's a lot of landmines to kind of step around if you're a swim coach. And Mike is going to have his work cut out for him, but, you know, I think the only saving grace, the silver lining, is that everybody's in this situation. So it's not just us. And everybody's going to have to work that much harder to kind of, you know, make up that ground.
Yeah. And this is kind of the test of it. You know, it'll show what programs, you know what they're doing, what coaches, you know, really know what they're doing. And I think Mike, you know, he's a guy who just really knows what he's doing. He played at a high level in college. He got to see that whole atmosphere of recruiting at that level. So I think he'll be fine with finding the talent he needs. And, you know, this is a time where also we're looking at it from the basketball side. You know, you could get a couple of steals in the recruiting process because, you know, kids aren't being seen as much. And so if you do your homework, you know, you could really find a kid that hasn't been seen. And, you know, I believe Mike will, and I believe the program's, like we always say, in great hands going forward.
Yeah, for sure. So it's good to catch up with him. By now, you know what our schedule looks like. Next week, we will have the great Kenny Albert join us. Kenny of obviously Fox Sports and NBC Sports and MSG. He covers the Knicks. He covers the Rangers. We've seen him cover Giants games and obviously national games on Fox every Sunday. He covers the Stanley Cup for Westwood One Radio. He is the lead now that Mike Emmerich has moved on. He is the lead play-by-play man for the NHL on NBC. So Kenny Albert will join us next week on the show alongside former head coach Tony Pitoza. So we are definitely looking forward to that one as well. And Nick, I know I mentioned it during the interview with Mike, but I have a special shout out. I want to shout out my twin daughters, Sabrina and Liliana. They are officially teenagers today. God help me.
They turned
13 today. But we were joking about it off the air. But between your mom and my daughters, we actually have a fan base on the Dolphin Pod because they listen every single week. And I don't know if they're doing it to make to make their son or their dad happy. But I know we appreciate it as well as some of the other listeners. But I wanted to shout them out because they're special fans of this show. They support me all the way, and I can't believe they're teenagers, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, it only gets easier from here, Dave. Oh, that's it. It's just easier. That's what I heard. I don't know. So good luck. You know, happy birthday to them both. Great girls. I've got to meet them through CSI. You know, they're always around, super supportive, and, you know, seems like two very bright girls, too. Always doing work or some kind of schoolwork.
Yeah, and they miss CSI too, because they're in the halls constantly. They're constantly doing their homework in my office. And like I said with Mike, they're swimmers and they're pretty good swimmers too. Considering their old man doesn't know how to swim, they're pretty good swimmers. So Sabrina and Lily, I love you and happy birthday. Thank you for hanging in this long on the podcast and for always supporting us. So for everybody affiliated with the podcast today, for Mike Acolytis, for Nick Duran, I'm David Pizzuto, wishing you a great rest of weekend. Thank you for tuning in to the Dolphin Pod. Go Dolphins, and we'll see you next week right here on the Dolphin Pod.
You've been listening to the Dolphin Pod. Remember to check us out next week when we bring you a brand new show. Check out our archive broadcasts throughout the year at www.csidolphins.com/podcasts or on any of the broadcast channels like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Breaker, and Google Podcasts. If you have questions, comments, would like to be booked on the show, or have an idea for a guest you'd like to see on the show, be sure to leave us feedback and catch all of our shows right here at csidolphins.com/podcasts. From all of us here at the College of Staten Island, thank you for listening to the Dolphin Pod.